Reading from Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and the rider he has hurled into the sea. Oh, listening friends, we continue our series through the book of Exodus by Pastor Jason Epperson of the CU Church. Today we'll be looking at Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 through 21. Here's Pastor Jason Epperson.
So this is where we're at historically. Moses, the Israelites, the people of God have marched themselves all the way to the Red Sea, right? What's happened to this point? They were in slavery for over 400 years, if you haven't been here for a couple weeks. In slavery for over 400 years. In this slavery, Moses comes in. God shows the 10 signs or 10 plagues. And basically those signs and plagues were for all of Egypt and all of Israel to discover God is greater than your false gods. This God of Moses, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this God is greater than all the false gods, all the false things in the world. And so God shows them that through the signs. Don't miss this. The purpose of God doing all this is not only the redemption of Israel, but it's also the redemption of Egypt. The purpose of everything in this book is the redemption of everybody. He wants all of you. And so as this happens, then what happens? Well, eventually, the same people who enslaved them were the ones that said, hey, you can leave now, get out of here. And then they gave them their resources to leave because they didn't have money. They were slaves. So literally, the slavers gave the money to the slaves and they left. Don't forget this either. What's the mentality of a slaver? The mentality of a slaver. It's like, how could someone put someone in slavery? We've talked about this every week. I'm going to talk about it every week. How could someone put someone in slavery? This is how you objectify people. See, it starts very small. It's like, this person is here for my benefit versus their benefit. When you start to objectify other humans and you look at them for what you can get from them, that's the mentality of a slaver. If you keep doing that over time, you think the world is here to serve you. Sound familiar about culture a little bit now? We have the mentality of lots of slavers still. And for us too, we can have the mentality of a slaver. The mentality of a slave is what? The mentality of these people that were let go, the mentality of a lot of us in the room, is when people have treated you as a slave long enough, you start to believe your identity is in what you do. You think that your identity is in how fast you can run, how smart you are, how hard you can work, how pretty you are, how tall you are, how whatever it is, as a mom, as a dad, as a pastor, like whatever it is, when you think your identity is in something you do versus being a child of God, you have the mentality of a slave. And so what happened in this moment in history is they're let go. They're free. And so when they walk out, they start heading out. A cloud by day, a fire by night is leading them through the desert. Why a cloud by day? Because it gives them shade. It protects them. Why a fire by night? Because it gives them light. God is all you need, y'all. He's all you need. And so then he leads them to this point of the Red Sea. And then this happens. They turn and like, we'd rather go back and be slaves because the Egyptian army, all the chariots, all the dudes, they're coming after them and they want to kill them. And there's only one place to go, into the water. There's mountains on one side. You got chariots on the other side, and you got water. Last week we talked about it, right? Most of us in this room have never had soldiers and chariots chasing us, but all of us in this room have things that hunt us that we don't want hunting us anymore. Mindsets, temptations, sins, addictions, and God wants to swallow those in the Red Sea. This week, in chapter 15, they've just crossed the Red Sea, and they celebrate. Can you imagine it, y'all? I mean, think about it. Like in one moment, you think you're going to die by a spear, by a chariot. You think you're going back into slavery. In the next moment, everyone who's after you is gone. And what does Moses do? He chants his victory song. Do you know I get to travel to lots of different schools? And most of the time when I travel to different schools, I hope they never sing their victory songs because I want to hear our victory song. But some of the songs that I've heard, and I want you to tell me this, we are the champions. That's it. We are the champions. You know that song. You know that song. Right? Another one that teams will sing after a win that I've heard. Actually, I was in Ames, Iowa. This was before I started working with Illinois. I was working with Matt Campbell and those guys, and they were playing Texas. Texas was rated one in the country. And after the game, Iowa State won in a last second moment. And the whole crowd started this song. Sweet Caroline. Yeah, you know that victory song. You know that victory song. See, in our world, like if you go, like last year when we went in the Sweet 16, you're walking out of an arena, you'd hear this, ILL. That's what you'd hear. But those are songs that we sing in victory. Hey, family, why has the church just become so reflective versus victorious? Like, where's our victory songs, y'all? Because we've won. He's won. Today, this is literally, y'all, this is Moses walking through the Red Sea, jumping up and down, singing this song. Let's hear what he has to say. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. It says this, the Lord is my strength and my song. The first thing is, who is Moses and who is a million people that are crossing, over a million people crossing the Red Sea? When they start singing this song, and he's teaching them this song, as he's teaching this song, it says, what? I will sing to the Lord. They don't say, I will sing to the dude that helped that girl across the Red Sea. They don't say, I'm going to sing to Aaron. They don't say, I'm going to sing to Moses. They don't say, I'm going to sing to Miriam. They don't say, we're going to sing to, man, the last one that came across. We're so grateful he wanted to be like, he was willing to be. They don't sing to the, who do they sing to? We sing to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown to the sea. Then it says this, the Lord is my strength and my song. You know what I need to hear me say this is, when I pray in the morning, it's like, Lord, make me strong. Lord, you be strong. Because if I'm a part of it, there's failure. But when the Lord is my strength, guess what I do at the end of the day? I sing victory. When I rely on my own strength, I sing failure. But when the Lord is my strength, like it doesn't say, man, Lord, will you help me do my best? I don't want my best. My best ain't good enough, y'all. My best leads me to the pits of hell. That's where it leads me. My best leads me to disappointing you. My best leads me to disappointing my kids. My best leads me to like unhealthy living. Like that's my best. My best is a dirty rag, is how Scripture describes it. But God's best, y'all, you can rock with God's best. The Lord is my strength. What in your world can only God do that you're watching him do right now? Here's the deal, most good things. But really, we kind of like to be a part of it, don't we? We kind of like to not pat ourselves on the back, but think it's more us than it is. But it says, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. Because when you have victory, you have song. I don't know about you, but I literally have never been in a locker room after a game. And it's like you walk in after a win. And it's like in the locker room, you walk in after a win. For the world I'm in is brothers are taking off their shirts. They're shooting each other with water guns. We're jumping up and down. We're chucking water bottles. There's music going on. We're not going to play in here. And they're dancing. And everyone's bopping and having a good. That's what happens. That's what happens in a winning locker room. In a losing locker room, you know what happens? Well, we could have. It's dudes with their heads down, man. We should have. We've won. You don't need to feel bad to feel good. Feel good. He knows you're bad. That's why he won. What in your world is God doing that only he can do? It goes on and says this, and he became my salvation. This is my God. I will praise him. My Father, my God, I will exalt him. I'll never forget the moment that this young man, his whole life, he thought he wasn't good enough. He put his whole life into being an athlete. He was a five-star kid. He wanted ever could have went anywhere. Comes here, struggles in life, struggles in everything. Everyone around him is thinking he's a failure. And he's about to the point in his life where he's thinking about taking his own life. And we're talking, and I'm encouraging him. I'm like, bro, here's the deal. If you keep holding on to this game, and this game is your centerpiece, let me say to y'all, if you keep holding on to this work, you keep holding on to this dream, you keep holding on to this whatever it is in your world, the more you hold on to that, it's a crisis waiting to what? Happen. It's like, well, Jason, you don't understand, like, God won't want me. This happened to me when I was 8. I was abused when I was this. And then when I started to be 12, I started doing these things, like his background, he just thought, I can't be in this Jesus thing. I'm not good. I'm not pure. I'm not whatever. And then all of a sudden when he discovered, listen to me, it's not about you. God is forgiven you. He loves you. Just accept him. Just surrender. Just give yourself to him. And then all of a sudden you just see this kid weeping. And he's weeping because he's never been so happy that he could be forgiven. But when you live in a world that everyone just wants to point out your failures versus shout from the rooftops, you can be forgiven. It's a different world now. That's his song, y'all. His song is, his sin is gone. It was taken at the cross. He was delivered from Egypt. He no longer walks in slavery. Now the rest of his life, he's taken the Egypt out of himself. He walks in the Holy Spirit. He still makes mistakes. He refines those mistakes just like you and I. And the song he sings is a song of freedom. The song he sings is not a song of woe is me. The song he sings is, yeah, that's who I serve. Yeah, he set me free. Yeah, I have life in him. Because we've won. He's delivered us. Isn't it funny how the enemy can distract us with our own struggles, even though our struggles are temporary? It goes on and says this, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host, he cast in. Some of you right now in this room think there's no way you can ever be a part of a family because the things you've done to family, the things you've done to people are things that have been done to you. Hear me say that. It's a lie. He loves you. He loves you. And the truth is we need you. We need you because of who God has made you to be. And without you, we are incomplete. We need all the different backgrounds, all the different styles, all the different colors, all the different languages. We want it all. Why? Because he wants it all. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts he cast into the sea. His chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. What he's saying here is, imagine this, like in your life, you've had this moment, whether you recognize it or not. Because some of you grew up in the church and you actually think you deserve his grace. I get it. I've been there too. Well, I've carried my Bible every single week to church my whole life. Well, I don't struggle with these things. Like when we start rating sins, that's where you're at. Well, I've never done that. Now, sometimes I struggle with judgment. Family, hear me say, there was chariots. There was soldiers. There was no way they could defeat them. Like they were toast. Just like David and Goliath, brother, was toast. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace, literal toast. Just like Daniel in a lion's den. But see, when Jesus went to that cross, he defeated the enemy that none of us could defeat. It's called sin. He took it. It's gone, y'all. Like, it's just around us. We have to deal with it. But when he comes back, he's pulling us. He's taking all the sin and all the death and all the darkness and all the pain and all the anxieties and all the depressions and all the pain. He's taking it all away. And all that's going to remain is beauty. The beauty in you, the beauty in me, and the beauty in him. And it's going to be worth singing a song about. But see, in that moment, that's what's going on here. But in your life, have you ever just celebrated a thank you? Just, man, thanks. Because I couldn't defeat death. It's got us. The older I get, the more I know it's coming. Like, I'm half dead at least. I mean, really, I'm 47. There ain't no way I'm living. Come on now, look at me. It ain't happening. It's okay. When I die, I'm going to go chill with him. It's going to be great. And if he comes back before then, it's worth singing another song about. But then it says this, your right hand, O Lord, glorious and glorious power. When it says right hand in scripture, usually it's like a right hand of justification or a right hand of justice. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out their fury and consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. Like literally it says in here, Moses, like, bro, just farmers blowed the Red Sea open. Now, is that what happened? No, but he has no way. Like, that's the thing about the Old Testament. He has no way to describe who God is outside of what he knows. That's the beauty of Jesus. When Jesus came, we have a way to describe God in physical form. Then it goes on. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake. Like, literally, Moses is quoting what the soldiers were saying. Here we come, y'all. We coming for you. We're going to get you. Hey, I see you, Miriam. I see you, Moses. I see you, Sam. I see you, Gloria. I see you, Abram. I'm coming for you. I'm going to kill that one. I'm going to keep that one and make them suffer. That's what's happening, y'all. The panic, the worry, the stress. That's what they're, and Moses is doing what? He's remembering their words being like, yeah, you said that? Not today. No, my God saved us today. I will divide the spoil of my desire. I shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. I need to say this very clearly, that there is a moment when you are so overwhelmed by the injustices of the world, the only way to redeem it is justice. Imagine for 400 years watching people be raped, pillaged, abused, enslaved, and then you give them the signs to show them who you are so that they can find redemption. And then they question you again, and they're going back to do the same thing to your kids. But hear me say this. He still wanted to redeem Egypt. When he died on that cross, it tells us he goes down into hell and he preaches the gospel again. Why? Because he wants the world to know who he is. In this moment, God is flexed on the false deities. In this moment, God is flexing on the greatest military of the world, saying, there is no chariot, there is no soldier, there is no bomb, there is no gun, there is no army, there is no militia, there is no power in this world. The governments of this world will pass away, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. That's what he's saying right here. That's his song, y'all. It's a good song. I like it. It goes on and says this, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome and glorious deeds, doing wonders. You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You've led in your steadfastness, loved the people whom you've redeemed. You've guided them by your strength to your holy abode, to your holy place. This is them saying this. Who is like you, O God? How much does Israel really know right now about God? Not much. But they know enough to know we're following him. So many of you in this room think you need to discover every aspect of God before you make a decision. Hear me say this. You won't. You need to know enough he's worthy of following. And then you learn and you grow and you walk with him. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to fall more in love with the Lord every single day of your life. And the only reason you question him and the only reason you doubt him and the only reason you get frustrated with God is because you have unrealistic expectations of who God is. Because let me tell you right now, he is faithful, he is good, and he is awesome. Aren't you glad Jesus was on this earth and we can read about him? Like, we know him. Like, we know how he would react to a woman who was caught into adultery. We know how he would react to a leper that everyone else cast away. We know how he reacted to the poor, the broken. We know how he would react to the rich. We know how he would react to the refugee. We know him. And now his spirit lives in us. And we know when we get convicted how he wants us to act. The question is, are we going to walk in his strength or, Lord, make me strong? The people have heard, they've trembled. This is Moses saying, this is what's coming, y'all. Like, we're across the Red Sea now, but there's kingdoms in our way. And this is what he says. The people have heard, they trembled. Pains and seized the inhabitants of the Phoenicia. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. I want you to picture this. Most of these slaves probably don't even know what these nations are. But how did Moses grow up? Moses grew up in the house of Pharaoh. So Moses in the house of Pharaoh. You think Pharaoh had a big old map? I bet he did. Like a map on the ground, like Game of Thrones style. And you walk in and you can see all the kingdoms of the world. You can see all the nations, and a young future leader is going to have to learn about what? Those nations, those cities, those states, those places. And when he sees God deliver this nation and promise them they get to go home, promise them they get to go to their ancestral home, he knows there's cities, there's states, there's nations in their way, and he knows God wants to redeem those places. But if they stand in the way of God developing his people, hear me say this, he's going to develop his people. So Moses is singing a song. It's like a prophetic moment of this is what's coming. And that's what he does. It goes on and says this. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness of your arm. They are still as a stone till your people, O Lord, pass by, till the people pass by whom you've purchased, like whom you set free. Guys, do you know in the story, 40 years after this point, they come across the Red Sea. Moses, he'd be singing this song. And as he's singing this song, 40 years later, because they have to be in the desert a while because Moses broke some commandments. But 40 years later, they go into the promised land. 40 years later, there's this gal named Rahab. She was a prostitute. She ended up being part of the bloodline of Jesus, by the way. That's cool. You think you can't belong to the family of God? Like Jesus' great, 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 great grandma. Come on now. He's welcoming you in. You belong now. But this girl, this woman, this prostitute hears about how good God is, how powerful God is, because people sang the song, y'all. They sang the song. And so she hears about it. And when they come in, she saves the spies and she is saved. Why? Because she knew the song. See, in this time in history, they didn't send out text messages and Twitter feeds or X. Sorry. But here's the deal. Listen to me now. What song do you sing? What song will 40 years from now they know about us in this room? There's a song that happened over 80 years ago that I know. I do. The song over 80 years ago was my grandfather, who at the time was a teenager. His family, they would describe themselves as anti-Christian and anti-Catholic. They're anti-anything religious. They wouldn't even let, like, no. During the Great Depression, he is working in a grocery store and a milkman pulls up and the milkman says, hey, you doing deliveries with me today? He's like, sure, I'll come with you. He sits in the front seat of this truck, the bench seat truck, stick shift down there. And in the middle of that, he sees a Bible. My grandfather told me this story when I was a kid. And he starts talking to this guy, and he's really friendly, and he asks him about that book. My grandfather didn't know what a Bible was, y'all. This was back in the day when everyone knew what a Bible was. Not my grandfather, not his family. The history of my family literally goes all the way back to rebelling against the Catholic Church, rebelling against King Henry, fleeing to the United States. Like, that's my family. We are rebellious turds, y'all. And we hated anything that had to do with the church, religion, or Jesus for generations. And my grandfather, Everett was his name, sat in this truck as an 18-year-old boy listening to these stories And eventually made a decision he was going to go to a revival one night. Went to a revival one night. And as the pastor made a comment about forgiveness, about who Jesus was, and they were singing a song, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, early in the morning." My grandfather changed the legacy of my family. He surrendered his life to Jesus in that moment. He went home to tell his mom and dad, and they immediately kicked him out of the house. He hitchhiked his way. He was from Northwest Iowa. He hitchhiked his way all the way to Cincinnati, Ohio, because he heard there was a school there that would teach you about the Bible. He hitchhiked all the way there. He worked for the Cincinnati Reds to pay the bills to go to school. He came back two Christmases later. When he came back two Christmases later, he had no idea if his family would welcome him in the house. He hadn't spoken to them. He saw the light on. He walked up on the doorstep. He walked up in the house. He delivered the gospel message to his parents, to his brothers, and to his sisters, and all of them surrendered their lives to Jesus. And in that moment, they not only surrendered their lives to Jesus, they all made decisions that we need to be pastors and tell the world, because they didn't know forgiveness. They didn't know grace. They didn't know truth. And like, this is true. Everybody needs to know. So all of his brothers, all of his sisters became pastors. He started a camp called Naboa Christian Camp in Northwest Iowa. It was the first youth ministry camp of its day. And he started this camp. Fast forward, my wife, Lacey, we had no idea this. My wife, Lacey's grandmother, the first Christian in her family, gave her life to Christ at that camp when my grandfather was preaching. In my life, my wife gave her life to Christ at that camp. All of my uncles became pastors. The legacy, listen to me, the legacy of my family was transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus because a milkman was willing to talk about who he was. Family, that's my song, y'all. And that's your song too. But what's your song? What legacies are going to change because of the moments right now? Like the moment that you surrendered your life to Jesus and you left the old person behind, sing that song. Like legacies, families, like all of us have chains. I've got chains too, but there's some chains I've never had to walk in. I don't know what it's like to be abused as a kid because my parents love me like crazy. I don't know. I don't know what it's like to not have someone encourage me when I'm down because my parents did it. I'm so sorry that so many of you were treated the way you were treated, but let it stop today. Let us be a people that breaks the chains of our past and walks into freedom. We've crossed the Red Sea. Let's sing the song. Let's sing the song of glory. Let's sing the song of forgiveness. See, the passage, it goes on. It says, you'll bring them in and plant them in your own mountain, a place, O Lord, you'll have. Like, he's bringing them not into the low. He's bringing them into the mountain. He's bringing them into the promised land. It says this in verse 18, the Lord will reign forever and ever. He delivers them. He makes them victorious. He defends them. And then he gives them the confidence to walk in their future. Family, that's you. He has delivered you from sin. You're victorious over death. He defends you from anything that you can't walk in and you can't handle. And then the rest of your life, walk in confidence that he's refining you. He's transforming you to bring the kingdom of God to this earth. That's what he's doing. In all of our hardships and all of our beauty, he's bringing the kingdom of God here. It ends this way. For when the horses of Pharaoh, with the chariots of his horsemen, went into the sea, the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground in the midst of the sea. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the women, went after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang this song, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." Can you imagine that girl? I can just see it now. I can see her like so excited. And Moses is singing this song. And it's an okay song, but she's like, "Moses, we got to get after it now." And she grabs that tambourine and she's with those other women. And they're women from all different backgrounds. Some of them are Jewish. Some of them are from different places because they're all slaves. And she comes out with this tambourine. She's busting that tambourine. She's dancing all over the place. And she's singing the song about the glories of God. Family, that's the attitude that Christians should walk in. The greatest tool for this world to know who he is not us. "Oh man, life's so hard." Get over it. We got a glorious Father who reigns eternally, who loves us and loves me. I know life's hard. It's hard for me too. I know we struggle paying the bills. I know we got things in our past. But claim the promises in front of us. Claim the glory that he's given us and walk with the Lord and sing his song.
Oh, listening friend, claim the promises of God. Claim the glory he's given you. Know that he loves you and cares for you. He sent Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of the world, to redeem you. You've been hearing a message by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church, as preached a week ago Sunday, as he's taken us through the book of Exodus. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast or want to hear past messages, stop by greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org. Click on the Mark and Friends tab, and you can listen there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.